Welcome. You're listening to the Mac Observer's Background Mode. This is your host, John Martellaro. And this week, I have a very special edition for you. I'll be chatting about 4K television with our Kelly Gumont and our Jeff Gamet. It all started when we did a TMO Daily Observations podcast on March 21st. After the show was over, we just kept on chatting and kept on recording. It was great fun. Here's what we talked about as I joined the discussion in progress.
So I think I understand why you cannot buy a digital version of the 4K movie. And I'm not saying it's right. I just think this is what it is. Okay. So don't jump on me for thinking that this is the right way to do it. But I think it's because streaming. Because that movie has to come from somewhere. And generally, like, you don't think about a movie in the same way that you think about a song. Or even an album, because an album is this stack of little MP3 files or AAC files or whatever. And those little files are tiny and you can carry them around on all manner of devices. And it takes a little bit more effort to even for an HD movie. Like my father-in-law, for example, gets digital copies of movies because he's got, like, you know, the code, you enter in the thing and then they give you the digital copy. So he was like downloading all of those. And then one day he brings me his computer and he's like, my hard drive's full and I don't understand how that happened. And I'm like, well, you have 400 gigabytes of digital versions of movies that you have on the shelf over there. So can we nuke them? And so I think it's because those 4K things are streaming, because like your Apple TV is gonna have to get that file from someplace. There's not, I mean,
well, Kelly,
yeah,
there's
storage
buys,
and on and on, but
nobody buys a 4K system at home unless they know they have a ISP that can deliver 25 megabits per second. But 25 megabits per second is just fine, even with HDR, to watch a movie. Now it's not as good as 4K Blu-ray.
Okay,
which
to be
comes
honest,
off the disc at 100 megabits per second, but it's
then
still
you're gonna need to put this in
doable.
Your piece. Because I don't know.
Oh, I have written about this. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't know how many people are actually going through the list of like, I'm upgrading my viewing situation at my house. So I need a new TV and I need a new DVD player and maybe I want some new speakers or maybe I want a new receiver in order to manage all of this stuff. You know, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. But how many people are going to go like call their ISP or like verify what their up and down is on what they're paying for?
All right. On your Netflix account page.
Yeah.
You have to, in order to even get 4K, you have to go to your Netflix account page.
Right. But I'm only, that's.
You have to click the box that says, I want 4K. And when you do that, it says, we recommend 25 megabits per second.
Right. But I know this is an understatement. I know a lot of nerds and I don't know how many of them could rattle off for me their up and down from their ISP without having to go look it up. So I'm just saying, like, when I think of it, would never have occurred to me to go verify whether or not Comcast is going to give me enough bandwidth in order for me to make use of this 4K system. Because again, Kelly kicks it old school. So when I'm doing this, I'm thinking of discs. It's not ever going to occur to me that like I need that, like I can watch Blazer games in 4K now. Like that's never a thing that's going to occur to me like for a long, long, long time. So I do think it's because of streaming. And this is another one of those things where it's starting to, I feel like this is the thing that I called many, many years ago when a couple, I think Comcast and maybe it was Time Warner or Roadrunner or somebody, back when we still had more than like three ISPs, were starting to institute bandwidth caps. And there's only so much you can get a month before they start charging you or throttling you or whatever it was. And if you're going to get the option of 4K content, because I've been, you know, shouting about this forever, at what point is Comcast saying you have used more bandwidth than you're entitled to?
I did the math.
Going to catch up to.
All right, I did the math one time, and I recall you can watch one or two 4K movies a night, most weeknights, or you can watch one a night every day.
Okay.
And stay below a terabyte a month.
Okay. So if you're a cable cutter, you might watch more stuff than that. So
if you're going to watch more than one 4K movie a night, you need to talk to your ISP and buy additional bandwidth and go to 2 terabytes.
Well, but not even that. Like, if you're Jeff and you want to watch a movie in the nighttime, but maybe you like to watch a TV show at lunch or something.
Well, like, the TV show won't be in 4K, so.
Well, right, but that's still bandwidth that counts, right? Like, aren't you going
to
still?
Well, that's why it's good to have an optimum mix of, say, cable or satellite, where your bandwidth is essentially free for your $100 a month, and you can gobble up all the high definition you want. And then you have an Apple TV, and you judiciously go to Netflix and watch a 4K movie or Jessica Jones, yay, once in a while in 4K, and you have the optimum combination of resolution and cost and bandwidth usage. That's what
I do. So I need to derail briefly and just tell everybody how much it warms my heart that John is such a big fan of Jessica Jones, because I love Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones
and
is pretty awesome.
It's always, well, it makes a lot of sense that Jeff and I both like Jessica Jones, but for John and I to both like Jessica Jones is very interesting to me, because it doesn't seem like a thing that it seems like a thing I would absolutely recommend to John, that he would go, okay, Kelly, and nod and smile, and then like never ever watch. And so for John to be as into it as he is just really makes me so
happy. Jessica Jones is only logical to watch.
So,
so this is where I get sort of like, this is the one part of 4K that I'm not confused about, is where I'm trying to get to. And that's the streaming part, because that makes sense to me. Like, I get that they don't want to be jamming massive amounts of bandwidth on people, because then what? Like, people are going to start calling Apple and they're going to go, The Last Jedi looks like The First Jedi from 1977, everybody's square, all of it's dumb, and everything looks like the weekend everybody tried to watch House of Cards at the same time when it came out, and everybody's was all like 8-bit because Netflix's servers couldn't keep up. It looks like that. So, like,
most TV is 8-bit, Kelly.
I know. But like, what's Apple gonna do when, you know, when their support system is overwhelmed by people going, I bought this 4K thing and I paid extra money for it, and now, like, I'm not getting 4K out of it? Because,
well,
now,
in
what
my
are you
experience, like, maybe only 15 to 20% of the households in this country are running 4K systems. And so as that situation evolves, and I'm sure Comcast and Time Warner track TV sales, it's an industry thing. And they know how many customers have 4K TVs, and they have been gradually installing capacity. Where it comes into play is that you may have to spend an extra $10 or $15 a month to double your cap.
Well, where it comes into play,
that's a modest thing if you're already paying $120 a month for your satellite TV.
Where it comes into play is you are the person who is responsible for purchasing, upgrading, and maintaining the AV equipment. And part of that maintenance is you sprung for the Logitech remote control that gives you the one button push to watch a movie. And now someone else in your house wants to sit down and watch Star Wars, and that person pushes the watch movie button. That person has no idea what's happening. They just know it sucks. Oh,
yeah. Don't talk to me about 4K spouse-friendly systems. When I was doing experimenting, I was running the Apple TV directly into the TV instead of through the receiver. And so the receiver had to go through the audio return channel, which complicated the button pressing. And you had to use both the Denon and the Sony remote. And I explained it to her a wiring diagram. She said, uh-huh.
And she's really, really smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately, yeah. I'm back to where I was. Simple one Denon remote to pick your input source. But for a while there, it was a little dicey to explain to her.
So while you guys have been talking, I'm sure you can hear me typing a little bit. I was trying to type quietly. I've been doing research, and I found where you can get The Last Jedi in 4K.
Oh, do tell.
Okay, so first,
in a box from Best Buy.
Well, for streaming. But yeah, on the 27th, when you can actually purchase the Blu-ray, then you're getting the 4K there too. So it's HDR10, no Atmos support. And so Fandango Now, Vudu, and Microsoft Movies and TV. But here's the deal.
Not until the disc is out.
Yeah, they're all showing that you actually can't get the 4K version for streaming today. So So if you want to buy an HD version, and just so that everyone has perspective on this, we're talking about March 21st. That's, you can't get a 4K streaming version of The Last Jedi right now.
I think I know. Kelly said she thought she knew the reason. I think I know the reason. Once Apple told Disney that they weren't going to allow the Disney to charge more for a 4K version, I think what Disney said was, well, this is, why don't we just do the same thing with Amazon? Let everybody buy the HD version, and then this summer in July, we'll make a big deal about how, guess what? The Last Jedi is now available in 4K. You'll want to upgrade.
Well,
my guess is that it'll be on the 27th when you can actually get the 4K stream.
So,
and it's $24.99.
Well, what it is that they're just releasing the 4K version later than they're releasing the standard def version, but they're being disingenuous about it by saying you can get it on, you can get the digital copy this minute.
Yes.
Because yes, you can get a digital copy this minute, but the 4K, you, in order to get a 4K copy, you have to wait until the 27th. Whether you decide to get that as a digital version or a slab of plastic is up to you, but either way, you can't do that till the 27th.
All right, Kelly, wait. It's time. We're running over and we have to do a short commercial break. Folks, we're going to break away for 60 seconds. We will be right back after this commercial message. Stay with us.
Hello there, all you fabulous Background Mode listeners. I'm Kelly Gamont with the Mac Observer, and I just want to say a few words about how you can support all the things we do. If you're thinking about buying something from Apple, Amazon, or Mac Mall, just go to the Mac Observer's homepage where we have a section called Support TMO, or you can just enter macobserver.com/Apple Store, all one word, and that will take you to our special page for Apple and our other affiliates. If you make a purchase from one of our partners this way, the Mac Observer receives a small compensation for sending business their direction. Pretty cool, right? And you don't pay a penny more. This small fee from our affiliates helps us continue to bring you TMO's daily news, reviews, tips, how-tos, and podcasts like this one. So the next time you're thinking about an online purchase, come to TMO's homepage and support the Mac Observer. Thanks. Back to you, John.
All right, we're back now. Is it live or is it Memorex?
I suppose it depends. That was really meta. Really meta. Oh.
Yeah, all imagine right. Sitting at this microphone. Be quiet, Kelly. Kelly has to talk now.
That had to have been really difficult for
you. That was cool. That was cool.
It's weird.
I can just imagine you're like, wait, but Kelly, I want to... Kelly.
All right, so I want to continue the discussion we had previously about 4K. And Kelly, you had some questions. You want to just kind of backtrack and get a handle and get a grip on some of this 4K stuff. So let's go back at that.
Well, so I just want to sort of give the setup. And the setup for that is that I personally do not feel qualified to make recommendations to those in my family who are going to call me and say, so the 4K is a thing and I need a new television. And what do I do? And I don't have a handle on that for them yet. And I feel like there's a whole lot to it right now. Just like there still sort of is with not Internet of Things, but home automation sorts of things. And I don't feel like right now I'm in a place to recommend it, but I also sort of don't feel like I'm in a place where I should be recommending it. So if somebody calls me up and says, you know, we're in the market for a new TV, I feel like I should tell them to wait. And so,
or call John.
So, well, I'm calling you now. Hey, John, ring one ringy dingy. I want to know what I need to know because I also sort of want you to convince me a little bit that 4K is the way now, because I'm not convinced it is. I'm convinced that there needs to be another wave of televisions or another wave of general settling on AV presentation before this becomes a thing where a person can go read a little bit online and then walk into a store and confidently buy something that's going to make them happy. I just don't think we're there yet.
Well, you may be right, because there are several levels of the technology. The first level might be to just buy a 4K TV and plug your HD system into it and be done. And it'll scale up, and all you'll ever get is HD content scaled up to 4K. The second thing
you could
do...
Now, if I have a nice TV, will that make a difference?
Yeah, you'll be able to see the difference if you sit at a reasonable distance within the retina zone. you'll be able to see a slightly better picture because the scalers are awfully good and they give you more fineness, even though they're ticking.
Okay. So if I just make that one change in my system, I will see a little bit of improvement.
Yeah. Yeah. If you sit close, if you don't sit outside the retina zone. Yeah. So phase two would be you're graduating from a simple system and you want to buy a 4K system. And so you do audio return channel to a sound bar and you just, you know, watch TV from however input you have coming into it. So, and then the third phase is that you get complicated. You have input devices. You have a 4K Blu-ray player. You have a 4K Apple TV. You have some sort of, you know, external player box. They're capable of accessing, you know, Netflix. You actually want to get, you know, the features of high dynamic range like Dolby Vision and HDR10. And as you increase these features, the attention to detail and the completeness of your system, as I described in my article yesterday, has to be more full-fledged and more patiently done to make sure that you're actually doing all the things that you want to do. So I guess it depends on where you are in that spectrum. Does that help?
Yeah, but
is there a flow chart for this? I mean, like, seriously, like I can say, okay, this is what I want. And then I get to the branch like this or like this. Oh, she's like that. Okay. Now you go down that branch and then the next branch. And at the end, it's like, okay, so I need an Apple TV. I need this cable. I need this television. And I need to use these services to get the content in the format that I want.
Well, you know, that's why a lot of people say that Apple should have built a TV. Gene Munster probably didn't think about this particular aspect of it. But, you know, if you could take... if you could do the Jeff Goldblum thing, you know, step one, turn on your TV. Step two, connect it to the internet. Step three, there is no step three.
I was thinking you were going to say life always finds a way.
That would be really cool because then Apple would just, you know, be an internet television and it would take care of everything. But we suspect Apple isn't going to do that. So we're kind of in a homebrew phase here. You're right, Kelly. 2017 was the first year that TVs started shipping that were Dolby Vision capable. Many of them needed a software update like the Sony's. Many of them did not, like the Vizios and the LGs. Samsung doesn't even want to go into Dolby Vision. They have this offshoot of HDR called HDR 10 Plus that they're trying to push in partnership with Panasonic, and that's not going anywhere. So if you want Dolby Vision, I don't recommend the Samsung TV right now, but it kind of depends on what your needs are. You need a consultant to kind of ask you 20 questions.
Yeah.
And then design a system around that.
Let's back up a minute. What's Dolby Vision?
Dolby Vision is a form of high dynamic range that exploits the 10-bit color depth of your TV. You know, for all time in modern television, we've had 8-bit color. 256 colors of red, of blue, of green. But 10-bit color gives you 1,000 colors of red, blue, and green. And it gives you smoother colorations. And it also gives you more brightness, broader range of brightness and a broader range of contrast. So that the colors look brighter and more saturated.
But that's not the only HDR game in town.
No, there's something called HDR10. And the difference between the two is that the metadata that's transported along with the picture, and this is applied in post-production. It's not built into the actual photography, but it's applied in the studio. And this metadata rides along with the picture, and it tells the picture how to respond on your TV in dark scenes and so on. And in Dolby Vision, the metadata is on a scene-by-scene basis, not a frame-by-frame, but scene-by-scene, whereas HDR10 is static metadata. It applies to the entire show.
Oh, okay. So let me see if I've got this straight, because I think it just finally gelled for me. With the HDR10?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With that, what you get is a single profile that's kind of like averaged out for the whole movie.
Yeah, I thought with Dolby,
with Dolby Vision, each scene can have its own HDR profile.
Yep.
So
that what they apply on Hoth looks right, and what they apply in space also looks right because they are different sets of information.
There you go. Different scenes, different lighting.
So if you have the option to have Dolby Vision, that would be preferable.
That's because, the smarter way to go.
Right. And what happened was, as I've written in several articles, is that when we first went through this development phase in 2015 and 16, where the studios realized that simply 4K wasn't going to cut it with customers because of the retina effect, that they needed something extra special sauce to entice people into this. And when they started developing it, they developed an open standard called HDR10, 10 meaning for 10-bit color. So you still get that. And it's not it's not a royalty system. It's open source. It's freely licensed to the community. And a TV manufacturer can then fold the software into their TV at no cost. And everybody thought that was going to be really cool and that Dolby Vision was going to be exotic. And it was only going to be on Blu-ray discs. And it was only going to be Lucasfilms and Star Wars and big blockbuster events and things like that from Marvel. And you would buy a Blu-ray disc and have Dolby Vision, and it was going to be very special. But what the studios discovered was is that it was easy to apply Dolby Vision, and Netflix and the studios started jumping all over it. So that nowadays, if you go and look at the HDR content on Netflix, probably 80% of it, from what I've seen, is Dolby Vision. And it's marked at the top in the metadata and the description of the show as the Dolby Vision logo. One reader suggested that Jessica Jones was in Dolby Vision, but not 4K, because there was no 4K annotation. As I recall, Netflix told me that they either log it as 4K, which means no HDR, or they log it as HDR, which means that it's 4K, or they log it as Dolby Vision, but the 4K gets dropped off, which is confusing. So
it can't be Dolby Vision if it's not 4K, right?
You know, generally, well, nobody bothers to apply HDR to high-definition content. You could, but the industry isn't doing it. It's just a waste of time. We're moving forward. So there's that to watch out for. So it's good that Dolby Vision has taken hold. And, of course, another thing that Dolby did was they removed the requirement for a hardware chip and allowed the manufacturers to do it in software, which was a lot less expensive for the TV manufacturers. And this and excellent advertising Dolby and the embracing by the studios has resulted in Dolby Vision kind of surpassing HDR10 as the standard, in my view.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me like if you have the option, you'd rather have Dolby Vision anyhow.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing to know is that if you have an older TV that only does HDR10, and you run an Apple TV and you receive Dolby Vision content because the Apple TV can, as I explained in my article yesterday, last week, that if the Apple TV even receives Dolby Vision but can't send it onto the TV, it'll gracefully downgrade it to HDR10. So you still get the benefit of HDR on your older TV. Say it was built in 2014 or 15, or 15 or 16, where there was HDR10, but no, Dolby Vision was not built into the TV, and it's not upgradable. So there's that. So that's something that, and that's one of these gotchas where you have to do kind of like a little reading and studying and kind of figure out where you are and where you want to be and how old your TV is and what you're going to get if you buy a new TV and stuff like that. So,
John, you touched on this, I think, or maybe my brain is just melting. Which TV brands do you know of today that can support Dolby Vision?
All of them, except Samsung.
Okay.
Let's see.
Oh, that's right, because Samsung is doing HDR 10 Plus.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to look for a tweet that a reader sent me about there's a rare TV that I haven't heard much of before. I think it's like PLC or TLC or something like that, that they support Dolby Vision. LG and Vizio do. Sony was late to the game.
Okay.
And so that's why they were kind of behind the curve and required a software update really late in 2017. One reader told me he bought an LG TV, and he's running Dolby Vision with tvOS 11.2.6. So there was an update to tvOS to support the Sonys because of the way Sony implemented it and some changes that Dolby made. And that's why you need 11.3 for Sonys.
This whole thing sounds to me, aside from the fact that it's basically spaghetti to try to untangle, the feeling I get from this is that all of the people who were mad that it took Apple so long to release a 4K Apple TV had absolutely nothing to be upset about.
That's a good point.
That is because they were so late, but it was still way before you had a whole, like, anything resembling variety when it came to what kind of TV you wanted to plug your Apple TV into.
Well, yeah,
it sounds like
when we first heard about the Apple TV, we had some developer who looked at Xcode data for the Apple TV. No, for another device. I think it was for another related device. And he saw in there a reference to the fact that the Apple TV, which hadn't shipped yet, was going to support HLG, Hybrid Log Gamma, which is like metadata for live TV, and HDR10, and Dolby Vision. And I looked at that list of three and I said, bingo, that's exactly the right list for Apple to select. But as you said, you're exactly right, Kelly. It wasn't until the fall of 2017 that list became obvious.
So it's only been like maybe 6 months that there have been, like, this previous 2017 Black Friday, when everybody had the bananas TV deals, that maybe there were 4K televisions last year on some of those prices where you could, where there was basically more than one to choose from, where you would get decent 4K and be at a point where if you took that 4K television home and set it up, you would have actual 4K content that you could put on it so that you could appreciate the new television you just got. Because this is a thing that has sort of bugged me is, remember, I mean, John, you and I have gone around about 4K and Apple television before, because you and I have gone around about basically everything once or twice. And the thing that I remember about it is me the whole time going, so what? There isn't anything to watch on your 4K television. What does it matter if you can buy an Apple TV that does it or not? And it sounds like it really didn't matter until very recently.
Yes.
So, and it even still kind of doesn't, because none of this gets into the conversation about upscaling when it comes to content and whether or not you're getting an actual piece of 4K, of legitimately created 4K video when you buy, like, if you buy a disc, or whether or not you're getting upscaled 2K content when you buy a disc, because they're going to charge you, they're going to put 4K on the front, and whether it's actually 4K, like the Close Encounters for the Third Kind 4K DVD is, or it's not real 4K, like the 4K Wonder Woman DVD is not. It's 2K and ratchet it up. Like, you're gonna, I'm under the impression from what you've told me that you will notice the difference in those.
So one of the things, but not everybody can. I think I've tested it visually, because I sit fairly close to, I sit 8 feet away from the TV, and I've watched movies that were mastered in 4K but not HDR, because I wasn't running HDR until recently. And I've watched 2K content, I should say HD content, scaled up. And I can see the difference between HD content scaled up and 4K. 4K just looks finer and more detailed.
So in real life, like, so here's another thing that I have noticed a lot. And that is, depending on which TV you have, there's a motion smoothing or a
soap opera mode,
whatever they want to call it. And yeah, the Google search for it is, why does my TV look like a soap opera? Because I found that the other day. And when you talk about HDR, like, when I think about HDR, I think of HDR photography, where the stuff that's in the photo, like, someone makes a picture, and then what they do is they can adjust the levels of color and contrast in that picture so that it comes out almost looking unreal. And a lot of people use that and go, oh, you know, it's this HDR thing, and like HDR mode on your phone. When you take a picture, you can do different stuff like that with it. So are you getting soap opera mode from this HDR stuff, or
no,
is it just a subtle improvement to the picture? Like, I'm not sure how, but it's better.
It's a frame to frame algorithm smoothing issue. That's nothing to do with HDR.
Okay. So if I'm looking at a TV that has an HDR mode, and when I buy it, then turning off the soap opera thing isn't going to change that part.
No, two separate things.
Okay.
And you should watch out because there still might be TVs. Well, I take it back. I don't think there's any TVs shipping anymore that don't have Dolby Vision out of the box except the Samsungs. So there's no more software update issues. I mean, there might be software updates for the TV as a whole, you know, to fix gotchas and bugs and stuff like that. But I don't think it's necessary anymore to worry about whether you buy a TV that says Dolby Vision and the specs and the fine print says software required, software update required at some point. Even the Sonys that are shipping now are the 2018 models. I just, they should be shipping. So
at this point, if I want a TV that does support Dolby Vision, I'm pretty safe as long as I stay away from Samsung.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes it a little bit easier because I remember last year listening to you talk about the insane mess it was just trying to find proper Dolby Vision support for what you wanted.
Well, there was some change, I think, in the Dolby Vision profile in the libraries that kind of caught Sony up in the situation, and Apple had to adapt to do it, which is why there's some TVs work with Dolby Vision with 11.2.6, and the Sonys require 11.3 betas. And of course, you know, Sony knows that the Apple TVs that people have in their hands won't be officially updated to tvOS 11.3 for another few weeks. So, you know, I'm kind of pushing the edge of the envelope.
So. That's okay. Because you rush in where angels fear to tread, and then when it's my turn...
It's been like a science fair project.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate that you were not only throwing yourself upon this AV hand grenade for yourself, but also for the benefit of others, so that when it becomes time for me to replace the medium television... we have a big TV, and then we have what was the big TV until we bought a bigger TV. When it becomes time to replace the formerly big TV, I'm going to be able to do that and be able to make some really informed decisions about it, because this is a thing that you've already done. Obviously, I'm not doing that anytime soon, but I'm interested in how all of this turns out, because Dolby Vision sounds like the way to go. I don't really get what I think the only reason not to do it is if you don't want to license Dolby Vision, I guess.
Because it costs $3 per TV, roughly $2 to $3.
Right.
So it depends on whether assume there was manufacturer wants to pay that.
Right. And I would happily pay that. So for TV manufacturers who are listening, hopefully that's not what's keeping you from doing it. But also, what do you think? I want to ask you, John, to prognosticate a little bit. And what do you think this means for content? Because like right now, for a lot of things, you can still buy just a plain old non-Blu-ray DVD of a movie when a movie comes out. It comes out in a DVD, and then it comes out in the Blu-ray version, mm-hmm. which also includes a DVD, or... you can buy, you know, a streaming version, like we had just talked about Star Wars, and it turns out that you can get a 4K streaming version of Star Wars. You just have to wait until all the 4K versions are released, because you can't get the streaming one until you can get the physical one. Well, so what do you think it's going to do for content to make that happen?
Two parts to that answer. First of all, I couldn't have answered the first question until I actually ran a DVD into my 4K system. I was watching Grantchester, the British mystery series. And it was amazing how good it looked, and it was amazing how bad it looked at the same time.
I mean, I know exactly what you mean. I have old DVDs even on my TV.
To the very limits of its ability to scale up from 480 to 2160. And it did a reasonably good job. But as soon as you looked at it, you went, why would I ever buy a DVD again? So the 4K era means basically, I think, the end of the DVD. For 4K users, you know, there might be people with high definition systems that are sticking it out and they're happy with DVDs. But if you have a 4K system, you don't want to buy any DVDs. So there's that. The second part of it is that we're in the same situation with Blu-ray players in Dolby Vision as we were with TVs. And that is that there are a lot of 4K Blu-ray players came out, but they didn't support Dolby Vision, or I had to support it through a software upgrade. I just heard that Sony's coming out with a DV700, I think it's a 4K Blu-ray Dolby Vision player that'll work nicely with your 4K system. So that's why I held off on that. And right now, as I've written, I'm just running straight old Blu-ray 1080p into my 4K system and letting the TV scale it up. And, you know, it looks as good as HD coming off the DirecTV. So my next phase of research is to study up on the right 4K Dolby Vision Blu-ray player before I start buying discs.
Might I suggest to you that Oppo is probably going to be the answer to this question?
Yeah, Oppo or Sony. Yeah. Say, we're running out of time.
Do you think? I understand that this is probably the end of buying DVDs for people if you know once you have something in 4K. But do you think it's gonna be the end of selling them? Because the thing that I never understood is why there would be just a DVD edition when people could buy the Blu-ray and get the DVD and then someday buy, you know, spend the $49 on the Blu-ray player and be able to play all this stuff and have it look a lot better. So there's still DVDs available. How long do you think that's going to continue? I'm totally just asking you to completely guess.
I know there'll always be DVDs for sale because there'll always be people who have standard definition TVs and high definition TVs, and it'll probably be 4 or 5 years before you can't buy a DVD anymore. That's
oh, sure.
And the other thing you got to remember is that the video that jumps off of 4K Blu-ray player is coming off at 100 megabits per second. And so there's much, much less compression than you'll get from watching 4K over the internet, which is coming in at, you know, 10, 15 megabits per second. So people who want first-class video and who are ardent videophiles, want the very best, they will always go out and buy their favorite movie on a 4K Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Judiciously. I mean, you know, favorite movies. You can't buy every movie. So.
Well, yeah, one of my favorite movies still isn't even out on a Blu-ray. And so that's why, like, I know whatever I end up upgrading anything, it's still going to have to be able to play a DVD here and there because some of the stuff that I have and really like that is very dear to me doesn't come in a higher quality version than a straight up silver slab of plastic.
Yeah. We talked about that in the first segment about, you know, resolution wars, and licenses and contracts and various.
Yeah.
Outlets.
Which bums me out because yes, I would buy a Blu-ray edition of Tape Heads. I absolutely would. Yeah. Shut up and take my money. Are you listening? I don't even remember what movie studio it is, but I would absolutely buy some of that stuff again. I would gladly buy Emma Daughter's Jug Bag Christmas on Blu-ray, but I had a hard enough time finding it on disc. So there's a lot of stuff like that that doesn't exist except on a DVD because it was very easy to put that stuff on DVD and then, you know, get another $10 out of somebody who already bought it on tape, you know, back when that upgrade happened. So I'm curious where it's going to go from a content perspective. And I'm curious how much stuff is going to end up being legitimate 4K versus the 2K that gets upscaled, which is what, honestly, I'm seeing a lot of right now.
There's always
when I look at the 4K stuff.
There's always a mix. And as people watch mixes, they learn to tell the difference and they learn to tell whether they care or not. You know, if I'm watching a rerun of Miami Vice, you know, and it's been remastered and it's barely visible from standard definition up to what I'm watching, that's okay because I know I'm watching Miami Vice. But if I go about and buy a copy of The Last Jedi, then I want 4K Dolby Vision. So there's no coherence. It's a constant mixture of formats and preferences. And with that, we really do have to wrap it up. We are just out of time, folks. So I want to thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. It's great to be on this side of a show every now and then.
Thank you, John, for letting me ask you all these questions because I really do appreciate getting to learn. And I actually am going to go download this once you release it and listen to it later. And I'm going to be able to just give this to my family and go, here, if you really need this explained, I've asked all these questions for you. You can literally hear me do it live.
Excellent.
Here you go.
Excellent. Well, folks, you've been listening to the Mac Observer's Background Mode. We'll see you again next week.